Nearly two decades ago, a Chugiak man filed a discrimination complaint against the Anchorage airport. The investigation into the complaint took 5 years. Unhappy with its findings, he asked the state's ombudsman to take a second look. He's still waiting for an answer. On average, an investigation into a discrimination case in Alaska may take a year or two, according to the agencies that handle them. But KTOO's Lakhidra Chavis has this investigation into two cases that fall far outside that average.
In his small living room in Chugiak, John Cedar is showing us shirts he made for a sled dog race in the late 80s when he raced poodles in the Iditarod.
This is when I ran I think it was 1989 Iditarod.
But this story is about what happened in Cedar's life after that moment, when he started working for the Anchorage International Airport in the late 80s. He said when he first got there, everything was fine.
Then after I started meeting some of the black people there, the other minorities and the natives and the others, I started seeing that they were there many years longer than I was, and I was bypassing them. And so it started raising a red flag, what's going on here? Finally, things got worse.
Cedar, who is white, says that some of his managers would call black Americans working at the airport the N-word. In one incident, which we'll revisit, he says a manager shot at one of the black men he worked with a noise-making pistol used to haze birds. He says some of his bosses were openly discriminatory against minorities. Cedar was outraged. He went on multiple self-funded letter-writing campaigns.
Oh, I'd be buying boxes of 500 envelopes and rolls of hundreds and hundreds of stamps.
He says he helped his coworkers write discrimination complaints to the Alaska State Commission for Human Rights, the state's anti-discrimination agency. Over the years, he'd sent media outlets and government officials more than 1,000 pages of emails, newspaper clippings, and case documents. He said he was reassigned to other departments and suspended because of his activism. Cedar thought it was retaliation. He filed a discrimination case against the airport in 1997. 3 years later, he was fired. According to his termination letter, he was fired after multiple disciplinary actions for making false and misleading statements. Cedar says he has yet to learn what those false statements were. Documents from interviews with management say Cedar routinely got distracted from his job duties. 5 years after he filed his complaint, in 2002, the Human Rights Commission finished Cedar's case. Case documents said his complaint was not supported by substantial evidence. But for Cedar, that wasn't enough.
We went to the ombudsman because our complaint was that the Human Rights Commission is not providing due process for anyone who goes there and files a human rights complaint that works for the state.
Notice how Cedar says we. One of the people Cedar worked with at the airport was a black American man named Theodore Burns. He goes by Teddy. He's the one Cedar says he saw a manager shoot at with the small gun used to haze birds while he was sitting in a vehicle. The men think the incident happened because Burns is black. Burns also filed a case with the Human Rights Commission and was unhappy with the result. They appealed their cases with the ombudsman's office. The ombudsman is a state agency that investigates citizen complaints against government agencies and officials. At his home in Anchorage's Mountain View neighborhood, Burns keeps a stack of binders filled with hundreds of papers in his bedroom.
And some of this stuff is what I ended up getting from the state. Doesn't make sense, right?
Burns filed a racial discrimination complaint against the airport because he was scared.
I was scared and it bothered me for probably years. It was like it'd be like being in a war, shell shock or something.
But Burns kept working at the airport. He still works there today as a senior equipment operator.
Well, it was a good job for one thing, you know. State jobs are hard to come by, you know. Good benefits and stuff.
After 7 years, in 2011, the ombudsman's office resolved Burns' case.
I tried a lot of steps and stuff, and it's like spinning your wheels in the ice and snow in the mud. You think you're getting a little bit of traction, and all of a sudden you're slipping backwards.
According to the final ombudsman's report summary, the Human Rights Commission did indeed take too long to investigate his complaint. But the shooting incident couldn't be investigated because it exceeded the commission's statute of limitations for complaints. The investigator sided with the Human Rights Commission's findings that there wasn't discrimination. But John Souter's case, which has been at the Ombudsman's office since 2004, is still underway. Then, like now, Linda Lord-Jenkins was the Ombudsman. She's well aware of Souter.
Typically, they do not take that long. And yes, our work often depends on other factors. The other factors include caseload, incoming cases. They include staffing. They include the complexity of individual investigations.
Lord-Jenkins wouldn't discuss Souter's case specifically, since it's still open. But she says in the mid-2000s, around the time when Souter and Burns filed their cases, the office had a small staff and an extreme increase in its caseload. She says the agency handles roughly 2,000 complaints a year. For very complex cases, the agency will open a full investigation into the complaint. Lord-Jenkins says the investigations can take several years to complete.
I guess the only thing I want people to know is that when they come to us, they do get a thorough review of their complaints. And sometimes that takes a very long time.
But 12 years?
That's a good question. I think if you do a quick investigation and you don't look at all the pertinent factors, it's not worth anything. I would err on the side of thoroughness and untimeliness.
Here's Teddy Burns again.
After I ended up getting my letter of no finding and stuff, I said, like, just gave up in a sense. And John is good. John doesn't forget anything.
In the past 2 years alone, Souter has emailed more than 50 legislators and staffers. Most of the lawmakers respond saying they won't help him because he's not a constituent. But Souter says he's come too far to quit.
I don't know. I guess I'm perplexed as how come I can't get somebody on board to say, you know, we ought to do something. We ought to go ahead and fix this.
Souter says he wants accountability, an audit on the Human Rights Commission and Ombudsman's Office. Both agencies were audited in 2011. Linda Lord-Jenkins from the Ombudsman's Office wouldn't say when she'd finish his case. But she emailed Souter and 13 lawmakers saying the preliminary report had been forwarded to the Human Rights Commission. The commission just needed to respond. That was in July 2015. Souter's state lawmakers, Representative Dan Sadler and Senator Bill Stoltz, declined to comment. Senator Britta Gardner was one of the people copied in that email. She says she couldn't help Souter because he isn't one of her constituents, but her office emailed the ombudsman about his case. She was surprised and upset to hear Souter's appeal is still ongoing.
What can happen this year that couldn't have happened last year or a decade ago?
She says she doesn't remember the specifics of Souter's case, but she says the point is the amount of time that's gone by.
Memories and data and all that stuff get harder and harder to access when it goes on this long. I think it's appalling and unjust. Whether he's right or wrong, it's unjust that this process should be, what is it now, 12 years?
So Souter, at least for now, is still waiting for an answer. Reporting from Juneau and Anchorage, I'm Lakedra Chavis.
Tomorrow in Part 2, we'll take a closer look at the state's anti-discrimination agency, the Alaska State Commission for Human Rights.